I want to say it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to be back this way with each and every one of you. I just want to say I appreciate you coming this way. Appreciate those from Stoners and our friends and family, my parents and all, everybody just coming to support us. It means a lot to me. It truly does. I could take, I guess, the rest of the whole service just to tell you what it means to me, but I appreciate it. It really does a man good when, you know, I'm thankful that I was just sitting here thinking about how there's always liberty when we come this way. But, you know, that starts from people having a desire to hear from the Lord and a desire to be here. You don't have that liberty in these churches when you go to them, when their members and the people that are here, they don't have a desire to be here. They're just here to go through the motions, I guess. But you can always tell when there's liberty that there's a desire to hear from the Lord. And it's my prayer that you maybe don't listen to me, but just listen to maybe that the Lord has for us tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. We probably won't keep you very long, but none of that matters anyway. I'm thankful. I just want to do what the Lord has allowed us, has asked us to do here tonight. And I would be lying to you if I said, you know, when we get a call to preach, I guess as a preacher, there's that little bit of, I guess, worry and whatever and whatever it might be. But there's also some excitement that comes with it. And I love to get behind the book board and stand and preach. I truly do. A lot of times I might make a mess of it, but I love to get up and make an opportunity and effort for the Lord. I truly do. And I've heard it said before that if we don't enjoy it, how are you ever going to enjoy it? But I'm thankful that the Lord has called us to preach, that He's called us to something that's greater in this life, that is bigger than us, and that I'm just a small part of it. But I'm thankful that while my part might be small, it can be something big in somebody's life if they'd ever just be able to listen to the Lord here tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand with the Lord, but I'm thankful that I can tell you within my heart that I know where I stand with the Lord, and that I know that the Lord has saved my soul, and I'm thankful for that. There was a time in my life when I was a lost man that I maybe it seemed like the world was so big and out of my reach and out of my control, and maybe it still is, but I'm thankful that I serve a God that has got it all in the palm of His hand, and that He controls it all. I'm thankful for that. I truly am. And I don't have some great big grand message tonight, and I truly don't. I never want to claim to, but I've just got what the Lord has laid upon our heart, and that it might just be an encouragement to us and a reminder unto us tonight in that. But if you got your Bibles with you, you feel like turning with us, we're going to be in the 20th chapter of Numbers, and it's very, very familiar scripture. We all know it. We've all heard it preached, but I just want to say again that I'm thankful. You know, the Lord blessed us to see another year. Yesterday was my birthday. I turned 28 years old, but you know, Mallory got on me all day yesterday because I just wasn't really into it. I wasn't excited to do this or that. It didn't suit me, but it didn't matter to me what we done. I was just fine, but I'm thankful. I was sitting there on that bench thinking a while ago that there's a birth date that I have, and that the day that I finally started living when the Lord saved my soul, that's the day that matters to me, and I'm thankful that I can say that I finally did start living in that, the day the Lord saved my soul, and that to die nevermore, and I'm thankful for that. And if you don't have that feeling and know that in your heart, then you do yourself good to do some checking up with the Lord whenever you have an opportunity, and I'm thankful for that. But we believe we'll probably just read the whole chapter. It's very, very familiar scripture in that. Just bear with us. We don't know how to pronounce all the names and stuff in this book, but I'm thankful the Lord knows where we're at. But y'all, in the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers, the Bible says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, and that we and our cattle should die there, and wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, thus saying, Thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down in Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway, and will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Hor. And the land, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron on 30 days, even all the house of Israel. And that's as far as we feel like reading. We know we've probably laid out more ground than we'll ever cover here tonight, and maybe the Lord will ever just allow us to open up and give you that's been upon our heart, and that maybe we've been thinking about. But I have had, I guess, maybe nothing near and dear and close to my heart, I guess, when Randy asked us to come this way. I didn't really have a thought that I was pondering, but there's been something, I guess, maybe that I've been thinking on all week, and that I've just had, I guess, maybe three words running through my mind, and that I've tried to make sure that I abide by and that I follow in this life, and that I guess those three words, if I could have anything to preach on to you tonight, is that I've just been repeating the three words, cool, calm, and collected, in that of this life. And I know that might sound strange, but it's where I'm at right now in my life. And I began to think about that, of the testimony that we have as Christians, and that, and how we're called to conduct ourselves in this life. And I was just sitting here thinking in that of how many times in the scripture that there's been people that have faced some things, and the Lord has told them to do things in that, and they've gone and they've went away from the Lord in that. They've done some things that they weren't supposed to do in that. The Lord had already proved himself to Moses. He'd already proved himself to his people. They knew exactly what the Lord was able and what the Lord was capable to do. Moses knew within himself that the Lord was able, if he spoke to the rock, to do it. But Moses was puffed up maybe in himself, and he was angry at the people in that, of how they were acting. But he smote the rock, and look what it cost him in that. And it wasn't just the fact that Moses wasn't able to go in with him, but Aaron died there on the mountain in that because of their action.
actions because they got puffed up. And I began to think about that of our testimony in this life, and that we've got one testimony when the Lord saves your soul, and that testimony goes with you for the rest of your life in that, and you can add to it and you can take away from it. But I'm thankful. I heard somebody say one time, and I've talked about it and mentioned it preaching before, but I began to think about it and it really stuck with me. But if you think about all the people that we come into contact with in this life and that, they've all got some idea and some opinion of you, whether you realize it or not. And your opinion to me, and your opinion to me, and your opinion to me, and your opinion to me might be a little different. There's a version of me that exists in each and every one of your hearts and your minds in that. And if I could ever just stay to the point where I try my best to have more good than I do bad in that, of the way that people see me, I believe my testimony will be all right in that. But you begin to have these versions of yourself that exist in the world and that, in the minds and the hearts of people that are negative in that and that. It hurts your testimony. It gets you to a point where they won't have anything to do with you. You begin to start yelling and belittling people when you talk to them. Then you turn them off for good. There's no way they're ever going to listen to you. When the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, he had an opportunity to let the Lord's power be glorified and magnified to the people in that. It's what the people needed, and the Lord knew it. And Moses decided to take it upon himself and puff himself up, and all he did was make himself look good, I guess, maybe to the people, if you'll have it. Look what power I have that I can smoke this rock. But the Lord wanted himself to be glorified in that. And how many times in this life has the Lord blessed us with an ability to be able to help somebody and to be able to glorify the Lord, and we want to get puffed up in it, and that maybe our heart started in the right place, but we get puffed up within ourselves and we do things our own way. And yeah, they still got water, and they were all still, they didn't have that thirst anymore, but there were some consequences that came from it. Even the people, that might have been what the people needed to finally turn their hearts exactly where they needed to be with the Lord, and they quit bickering amongst each other and turning from the Lord. But we'll never know, because Moses chose to smote the rock in that, and we're all guilty of it. We've all been there. But I just began to think about all the testimonies in that we read about in this book, and all the ones that maybe we don't read about. But I'm thankful, you know, that we have men like Job to read about in that, that he was tried within almost everything that he had in that, within probably not that much of his own life with all the things that befell on him in that. But I'm thankful that his testimony grew stronger in the Lord in that, on the other side of it, and it began to be something that grew in the Lord in that. I'm thankful that we only get one testimony, and you can make of it what you want to make of it. I'm thankful that there's nothing in this world that can ever take my salvation. They can't take it from me, but I'm thankful that I can darken that salvation. I mean, I can darken my testimony in that in a way that it doesn't shine out before in that, the world, that they are not able to see the light that I've got down within my heart. But I'm thankful for that. I remember thinking about old Achan, it was there, I believe, that chose to go against the Lord and to keep that he wasn't supposed to keep in that. And he might have thought he had it all hid, but look what it cost him in that. It didn't just cost him his family, I mean, his own life and his own well-being, but it cost him that of his families and that. And you know, I just began to think about that in this life, you know, since I've been saved, and especially since I've been preaching, you know, I've often thought that when I do wrong in this life, if the Lord needs to punish me, then punish me and let me bear it. But what scares me to death in this life is that because of my actions and because of my wrongdoing, that the Lord will punish that of my wife or my family or those that I love. It scares me to death in that, and I still make mistakes, don't get me wrong. But it holds me true in this life a lot more than it does. And I guess I'm thankful that the Lord has placed that down upon my heart to keep me. But I'm just thankful that we've all got a testimony in that, in this life, when the Lord saved your soul. He put a testimony in a song within your heart, and it do you good. We've all got our own song that we can sing for the Lord that's unique. It's all, we've all got our own. We've all got our own tune that we can hum to the Lord in that, and it'd be doing some good if we'd ever just choose to just to sing it and let it be sung in that, to this lost and dying world. But I'm thankful it cost them some things when they got puffed up on them. It cost them not being able to go in. But I'm thankful that there's no telling, you know, what it might have cost the people, whether they realized it or not. I've been thinking a lot about being a leader in this life, and that the Lord's called us to, even as a Christian, when the Lord saves your soul, he's called you to a higher purpose in that, to a higher standard of living in this life. And I'm thankful. I began to think about being a leader in that, and that if you ever want to be out front leading people, you've got to be, I guess, just as much in the back with them as you do out in front of them. You've got to be able to be there with them and to love them and to care for them and to not put yourself ahead of them, but to realize that that if we've all been born again, we've all got the same reward in heaven, and we're not no greater than those that are around us. I'm thankful that the Lord might have called me to preach, but I'm no better than anybody. I'm the least among you. I truly am, but I'm thankful that that when we remember that the Lord has gave us a testimony, it's a glorious and a joyful thing in that, that we don't have to die and go to hell. I'm thankful that the Lord saved my soul and that that I've got my own testimony. I can remember back to the days before I got saved and the months and the years not long before I got saved. I lost my grandfather to cancer and that, and I there were some other things that had happened, and I turned my heart cold towards the Lord, and I was mad at the Lord, and that I was angry with Him, and I knew there was a God, and I wasn't saved, and I knew that the Lord existed. I knew that I had enough about me to know that, but I'm thankful that I chose to turn hard against the Lord, but I'm thankful that He loved me enough. Even in the times that I didn't want anything to do with Him, He was still right there keeping me safe. You can ask my little brother, you can ask my wife, there were some times that I did some pretty stupid things and I could have got all three of us killed driving in the car and this and that, but the Lord knew that there was a purpose for me in my life when I didn't even know it yet, that I'd be standing up behind the book board at Mountain View Baptist Church on a Sunday night, trying my best to preach what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And He loved us enough. And I was just sitting here thinking on the way down here, me and Mallory, I guess, I don't know what happened. She had that procedure this morning and she's a little sore and tired from it. And we thought we left early enough and evidently we didn't. But we were boogieing down on the way to get down here, probably driving a little faster than we should have. But I just began to think about that on the way down here. I was thinking about the scripture and that of the lamps and that, and how those that had their oil and all, they were ready to go when the door was open, and that of those that they were doing what they thought they could and going to make preparation, but it was too late for them. You know, I began to think they thought just because maybe they were going to get the oil, they would be okay when they got back, but the door had already been shut and that the way was closed unto them. And I just began to think about all my family and my friends and the people in this life that they just think that they've got every opportunity to wait and to wait and to wait, folks, but we're not promised tomorrow. And if you don't make things right with the Lord before you leave this earth, then that's it. That's us, the only opportunity you have. And you'll open your eyes in hell and wish that you would have made preparation when you had time, and that we were doing all we could to get here on time, and thank the Lord we got here on time. But it don't always work out that way. We're not always here on time. There's times we're late. And I'd hate to know that I waited and waited and waited and I was late when the Lord come time to call me home. I'm thankful I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, there's that old saying, what is it? It's better to need it and have it and not need it than to need it and to not have it. I'd hate to know you got down to the end of this thing and didn't have salvation and didn't have the blood applied to your heart when your time to leave this earth was over. But it's a very real thing that we have loved ones and our family and our friends and those that are around us that are going to die and split hell wide open. But I am persuaded to believe that if we'll live a life before them, that they will not have an excuse to say that they did not hear or see the gospel in some capacity. I'm thankful for that. I truly am. There's those that have lived a life before me, even when I was a lost man, that I knew they had something that I didn't have. And I would love to strive to be the kind of man or the kind of woman or whatever, the kind of man that they were. But I just couldn't find it within myself to do it. And you never will. You'll never find it within yourself to get your heart to the place that it needs to be, that you're worthy of salvation. Because the very best that you have to offer and the very best version of yourself is still unworthy of what the Lord done for us. But I'm thankful that He loves us enough that He saved my soul and He saved so many. And He still got the same power that He had back then. I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But folks, I didn't come this way to get on to anybody. I come this way, I guess, as a reminder that we've got one testimony in this life, and that would do us good to remember that. And how easily it can be tainted and how easily it can be darkened in this life. It don't take one wrong, ill-placed word in this life, and you can turn somebody off from you for good. But if I can keep the opinions and the versions of myself that everybody in this world has of me, if I can just keep it to where there's more good than bad, then I believe I'll be doing all right. If I can ever just strive to do that, I'm thankful
that the Lord will open some doors for you and give you opportunity if you have a desire. But it starts with a desire. Just like I said when I got up, if everybody comes to the church house with no desire, then nobody's going to get anything out of it. But I'm thankful. It's a lot easier on an old preacher, man, when everybody's got a desire to hear from the Lord. It truly is. But I'm thankful to be here. I won't tarry any longer and put myself in it. I knew we probably wouldn't stand very long, but I'm thankful that I've got a testimony, and it's mine. I'm thankful for that. I don't have to count on yours. I don't have to count on how you live your life. I don't have to count on your actions to get me to heaven. And I'm thankful that if I'll stay where I need to be, that haven of rest that they sung about is not somewhere so far off that I can't get a hold of it in this life. I'm thankful that there's times when stuff comes our way that if we'd ever just get our heart in the right place, that we can find that haven of rest on this side. I'm thankful. I found it and had to do my best to hold on to it just this week. I'm thankful. The Lord knows what we stand in need of. He truly does. I'm thankful that I can get excited about something as wonderful as get behind the book board to preach. Never thought I'd ever say that in my life, but I'm thankful that I can be excited to get up here and preach the gospel. It's a wonderful thing. So undeserving of it, but you know, if you'd ever get your heart to the place where you desire the Lord's will to be done in your life, you might find something that you desire to do that you never thought you would. I'm thankful. If we'd ever just have a desire to move a few steps closer with the Lord, we can see how time has changed us in this life, but it starts with a desire. You'll look back on your life and realize that you're in the exact same place you started at if you never have a desire to move up with the Lord. I'm thankful it starts with a desire. It's been good to be here tonight. If you want to get a verse of a song, or if any of these other brethren or ladies, if anybody has anything to say or do, feel free. But it's been good to be here tonight. That's all I have.